everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Phoenix Files episode. It's an interview I recently did at the Phoenix Comic Fest convention, and I got a chance to sit down and talk with one of my favorite writers, Charles Soule. I really kind of discovered Charles on his Letter 44 series he did from Oni Press, and it's kind of a science fiction / 24, you know, the TV series with Kiefer Sutherland, a kind of story, and it recently ended with issue 31. And since then, Charles has moved on to a whole slew of titles. Over at DC, he wrote some Superman Wonder Woman. He wrote some Swamp Thing. He wrote some Red Lanterns. And he went exclusive with Marvel, which was a little bit, I guess I'd say, disappointing for me. You know, I'm more of a DC fan than Marvel these days. But since he's been at DC, or Marvel rather, he's written a ton of titles. Daredevil the longest, but he also did quite a bit of Inhumans, and he's written some X-Men, and he wrote the Death of Wolverine story, and now he's bringing him back in the Hunt for Wolverine. And you know, we're doing those Hunt for Wolverine spotlight episodes every Tuesday, so I hope you're tuning into to those. Now, he also had his debut novel come out recently, and he first started teasing it once it got sold and everything, like last year. I mean, obviously, the publishing world of novels and books is much different than the comic book world, where, you know, you can, something gets picked up or agreed to, you're going to do a comic, usually within 3 months, it's on the stands. Books tend to take a little bit longer. So it finally came out at the beginning of April, and I recently finished reading it. It was absolutely incredible. I loved it. It's one of those books that when you read it, or at least when I read it, like when I finished it, it was so good. I wish that I could like completely erase it from my mind and go back and read it again, so I could have the experience of reading it and discovering the story all over again, right? Like, I want that experience of not knowing what's going to happen and being able to read it again. Like, that's how much I enjoyed it. And books like that, at least for me, are kind of few and far between. So I highly recommend it. It's called The Oracle Year by Charles Soule. It's incredible. And while we're at the show, Charles and I also chatted a little bit about The Hunt for Wolverine. So I'm going to put the Hunt for Wolverine section in our next Hunt for Wolverine spotlight. But I wanted to leave the whole interview intact for those that are just big Charles Soule fans and want to be able to hear the whole interview without necessarily going and listening to the next Hunt for Wolverine episode. So again, thanks to Charles for sitting down and chatting with me. If he's at a show that you're at, I highly encourage you to go and chat with him. Even if you haven't picked up any of his work before, go and chat and find out what Charles is all about and what his stories are all about, because he has a very diverse portfolio, really, of things he's writing. You know, he writes a couple of Star Wars titles. He has this creator-owned title called Curse Words coming out from Image that's real tongue-in-cheek and completely hilarious and fun. He's got the Daredevil, which is, you know, street level, a lot of legal drama actually in it, because Charles himself is a lawyer. And then of course the Oracle Year, which he had some copies of at the show, but he sold out pretty quick. I think by Friday, midday, I think I went by his table and they were gone already. So, really encourage you guys to all go out and check out that debut novel as well. So again, I hope you enjoy the interview. Thanks for listening as always, and we'll talk to you next time. All right, this is Jace coming to you live from the floor of Phoenix Comic Fest. I'm here with one of my favorite creators, Charles Soule. It's always great to see you, Charles. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks for talking to me again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so let's talk about this exciting thing you had come out this year, which I heard about last year, couldn't wait for it. The Oracle Year, your debut novel.
Yep.
It seems like fan reception's been great.
Yeah.
comic fans and not comic fans.
Yeah, it's been, you know, you never know when you're moving into a new area of writing, a new medium, really, how it's going to be received. If people are going to follow you there, or if people are going to like what you do. But the Oracle year has been, it's just been doing gangbusters, to be honest. The reviews have been uniformly awesome. Sales are great, and people seem to really like it, as you said, on both sides of the aisle of comics and novel readers. So I couldn't be more excited. And it's not my last novel too, which is great.
So we know a lot of your comic fans went over and supported the novel, which is great. Have you had any fans, people that just love reading books, that have discovered your writing and now come over to the comics? Have you heard any?
Well, it's a little early, right? Because the book just came out April 3rd.
Right.
And so people are finding it, but you know, that's barely enough time to read the book, much less, you know, it's only the end of May now. So I would like to think that's what's going to happen. I mean, Amazon, their algorithm is certainly doing a pretty good job of cross-referencing buyers of the Oracle year to things like Darth Vader or Daredevil or Curse Words, but I guess time will tell.
All right, I'll touch back with you on that. I'm very curious.
I am too, honestly.
Let's talk a little bit about the story itself and how you worked. Obviously, different structure, going prose versus comics, you know, sequential storytelling.
Sure.
Is it a different headspace?
It is. It really is, because you have to go... I feel like I need to go much deeper when I'm working on a prose chapter, because I have to decide on every single detail what I'm going to show, the experience I'm going to give the reader is completely up to me. Whereas with a comic, you know, you're writing a scene and the obviously most of the visual aspect is going to be on the artist to decide, which is great because I'm not an artist, and kind of letting them take half that weight is a phenomenal thing. It's one of the greatest things about working in comics, honestly. So it's, I know how to describe a scene, either in comics or in prose, but it's more, when you're writing a novel, it's more like the choices you make when describing that scene, the way you decide to describe it, as opposed to just describing it. You can get away with that in comics, but in prose, you really have to make the smart choices every single time. So it's kind of a deeper experience for me.
Right, and that's probably why I imagine doing a prose novel is a lot more drafts as opposed to writing a comic script.
Yep. I mean, I generally do a first draft. I do a lot of planning on both comics and novel work, but I'll do a draft of a comic, and then I'll do a revision, and then that's generally what gets turned in, and then if there's some notes, I'll do some tweaks. But with the novel, I mean, the novel that came out is, you know, I don't think there's a sentence in that book that hasn't been rewritten at least once. And that's part of the process. You know, it's just like I wrote a chapter over this weekend here at the con, and I like a lot of the ideas in it, but I know I didn't get there all the way. Like, I know I didn't completely vanish into the scene I was trying to write, but that's okay, because the idea is you build, it's just like building a building or a house, right? You build you frame it out first, and then you put the drywall up and whatever, the studs, and then you finish it, and that's really what writing a novel is like. So that chapter is studs, and we'll see how things go in the future.
Now, the main character of Oracle Year, Will Dando, I'm reading the novel, I'm enjoying it, I'm immersed in it, it's so compelling, and I'm not even thinking at all until toward the end of the book, there's a line about the will of God.
Yep.
Did you, like, was that something you had planned, like, that's why right from the start his name was Will? Like, I'm so curious about that idea.
I chose Will as a name because he's somebody who ends up having to sort of very firmly define how he's going to interact with the rest of the world and how the world's going to see him and all of that. And so Will just seemed like an easy way to shortcut that in that thematic element of the book. But the story is about an ordinary person, a 27-year-old guy in New York City who kind of has a vision or a dream that gives him 108 specific events that are due to happen around the next year or through the next year or so. And it's how he chooses to use them, how he releases them to the world, how he understands what they are supposed to mean. And since you haven't finished it, I'm not gonna spoil it.
I finished it.
Ah, great,
yes.
great. Okay. So you know that it's where it starts is not where it ends.
Right.
And he has to sort of come to terms with the fact that for better or for worse, he's been given this information. And it's I think it's very fast paced, but yet it has a lot of big ideas on its mind too.
Yeah, and a couple of those big ideas, the idea of fate and destiny, is that something that's always interested you?
Yeah, I think you you know, I consider myself extraordinarily lucky that I'm sitting here talking to you, that I'm looking at a book of my, or a table full of my comics work, and that people like it and all of that, because I know there are thousands and thousands, if not tens of thousands, millions of people who are just as good as I am that maybe don't have this table, that aren't sitting here and don't have this body of work. So, you know, you wonder how much luck plays into it. You know how much you shape your own destiny, how much hard work and will goes into it. So I think about it all the time. I don't have any answers. I'm just happy I'm here.
The last thing I wanted to ask you about the Oracle year is writing an epilogue. I find it interesting. I go both ways. Like, sometimes I like the story just to end, but then other times I have like cleanup questions. It's the type A personality
to
me. So was there any debate for you about whether or not you would do an epilogue and kind of clean things up and let us know where everybody ended up?
The epilogue was in the very first draft of the book. So I always knew I wanted to end in that place and to give readers some degree of closure, but not, you know, full closure,
right,
as you know, because you've read it. And that was, that question though was something I went back and forth with on a lot, because I wasn't sure. Like, I know the answer to the big question that isn't answered in the book,
mm-hmm.
and I really wrestled with whether I should answer it, and ultimately I decided not to. And I think it was the right choice, but I wasn't sure until almost the very end.
Yeah, so that's interesting. You mentioned the big question, and at one point it really seems like that question is going to be answered, and then it's not.
Yep.
And I have to tell you, just from a fan's perspective, a reader's perspective, I did not mind that. Like, it wasn't. I didn't finish the book and go, oh well, he never. I was okay with it.
Right.
You know. It didn't seem to be the important part. Of it.
That's exactly it. That you nailed it in a nutshell. That is not the important part of the story, and because real life does not give you answers. You know, I'm never going to find out why I'm sitting at this table as opposed to the thousands and thousands of other people.
Right.
And if you're just sort of sitting there searching for those answers, you're just not, you know, nothing's going to happen for you. So I think you take the situation you're in and you move forward, and that's true of good things and bad things.
Yeah, so life is not that.
It doesn't
nice
clean itself
it's
up.
Tied
no,
up with
no.
a bow, right?
Absolutely not. So.
Well, let's shift gears and talk a little bit about Hunt for Wolverine.
Yep.
Now, you killed him in Death of Wolverine.
I did.
At that time, did you have any inkling that you would be the one to write the story of him coming back?
I didn't, because, you know, I knew even going into comics pretty early that stuff sort of just happens and things churn around and, like, you know, you never know where you're going to be and who you're going to be writing for, what project you'll be on. So I didn't know. I had an idea that how I would do it if I was given the opportunity, which is more or less what we ended up seeing in Hunt for Wolverine, but the Hunt for Wolverine number one. But he's not back to life yet,
right?
And there's still a ton of cool story to come, and it's sort of. You know, the Hunt for Wolverine is an event series over the summer that has a bunch of different puzzle pieces to it. And the idea is that anybody who reads all of it will be able to assemble that puzzle in their mind and have a pretty good picture of how Wolverine came back, what he's been doing, and where he is now. So it's been a challenge to put all that together in a way that feels organic and all the pieces fit, and nobody's getting too much or too little or whatever in terms of the writers who are helping me do it. But it's one of those fun challenges you don't get to do very often in comics, so I'm excited.
Yeah, and going back to the idea of fate and you feeling how lucky you are to see it. I mean, it was pretty early when you moved over to Marvel that you killed this iconic character,
yep.
And now you're the one to bring him back. That's got to be a little surreal in a way, right?
It is surreal. It's again, it's one, you know, we've been talking about luck and fate and destiny and all that stuff, and it's been really good. So I just hope I do it justice. You know, I feel like I did a good job on the Death of Wolverine story, and now having this opportunity, it's just, you know, it's great, but it's also something I really want to get right. So
now, being that Logan is such an iconic character, so many people have written him over the years, what's your favorite thing about writing Logan stories?
Is that what they were?
I think that, you know, the way, what, at least when I write him, I try to make him feel very much like kind of a legendary figure, somebody out of time, somebody who's on this hard road that he knows he has to walk. And he's, I think of him as like the man with no name in those Clint Eastwood films. Hell Rider or whatever, all of those things, the guy who kind of comes into town and nobody really knows who he is. He doesn't even really know who he is. He just knows what's right and what's wrong. And he does his best to save the day.
Well, fair enough. Daredevil, Weapon Lost, is one of the four series that's going on telling the story of the hunt for Wolverine.
Sure.
And you write the regular Daredevil story. So,
yep.
Is that why? I mean, that's kind of the street level thing. And when you think about it, Wolverine, he's been a part of so many iconic, almost cosmic cosmic stories, but when you get down to it, he's that street level character.
Absolutely.
Like Daredevil. So is that something you kind of want to explore in that Weapon Lost series?
Yes. The Weapon Lost, so within Hunter Wolverine, there are four different miniseries. Each are four issues, and they help to explore the search for Wolverine in different corners of the Marvel Universe, right? So you've got Adamantium Agenda, written by Tom Taylor and drawn by R.V. Silver, which is like a big superhero action thing starring the new Avengers, Tony Stark and so on. And then you have My Story, Weapon Lost, which is more of a detective noir sort of feel, written by me, drawn by Matteo Bufani. And then you have Claws of the Killer, which is Mariko Tamaki and Butch Geist, which is kind of a horror movie feel, zombies and stuff. And then you have the last one, which is Mystery and Mad Rapport, which is kind of like a sexy spy thing, written by Jim Zub and drawn by Tony Silas. So I wanted all of them to feel very distinct and have their own vibe, and the Weapon Lost book is the noir detective story, and what better figure to fit into that than Daredevil. In my opinion.
Yeah, sure. Hey. So is there anything else you'd like to tease our listeners? You know, we're really just at the start of the hunt for Wolverine.
We are. I think the first issue of each of the four miniseries has come out, and then the Hunt for Wolverine one shot that kicked it all off. So I guess what I would say is that it is building to something very specific. This is not just a kind of a cash grab sort of deal. The idea is it's like all of the Marvel movies that led up to Avengers Infinity War. So all of this is building to something. The more you read, the more you'll have a sense of all of it and have a feeling of it. And I would even say enjoy the big thing that's coming after, which should be announced this week, I think, this coming week. So.
Well, awesome. Well, are there any other projects that you want to mention? I know you seem to have your hand at everything, but anything you want to tease our listeners
Well, the big Image series that I'm working on with Ryan Brown is called Curse Words. That book is doing really, really well in trade and single issues, and so we have our budget at this point to finish the whole series, which is very exciting for us. So Wizard's story and Ruby Stitch and all the rest of them, Margaret, will get to have their full story told. So if you haven't checked that out, volumes 1 and 2 are available already. Volume 3 is coming out this summer. Give it a read. Lots of cool stuff from Daredevil. The Star Wars books, Darth Vader, Poe Dameron, both have exciting things coming up. So, you know, anything with my name on it, buy it. Maybe buy two.
Yeah, Darth Vader, you're going to be exploring how he got his castle.
Yeah, that's the next big arc. Right now we're in this arc set on Mon Cala, which is the water world where Admiral Ackbar comes from. And then the next big arc after that is called Fortress Vader. And it's about how he got that amazing castle we saw in Rogue One.
That's awesome. Well, if any of our listeners want to follow along your work, Charles, I know you're very active on Twitter.
Yep. Twitter is just my name, Charles Soule, S-O-U-L-E. And then my website is very frequently updated I do a writer's note piece every week about whatever issues I have out that week. There's a lot of information about my books and my appearance calendar and all kinds of stuff. So that's just charlessoule.com.
Great. And listeners, I'll put links to both Charles' Twitter and his website in the show notes so you can go and find them there. Great chatting with you, man. Always great to see you.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.